Thank you. I appreciate you all sharing your time with us. And I want to commend the organizers for putting this together, because this is a topic that we don't think of. You know, we look at the number of papers on planting seed, and now with Norm Hopper and Charlie Baskin no longer working, we just don't have a volume of research. But it's one that's just critically important. But so since it's not a common topic for plant disease, what I'd like to do is take this opportunity to do what's called a leveling presentation, to bring you all up to a certain level of understanding of how the industry works and how the industry functions, and so that you can look at it. So the scope of my talk is very straightforward. We're just going to talk about growing and processing of cotton planting seed for producing a fiber crop in the U.S. So seed for export and seed for further increase is not going to be. Now, in terms of methods, they're totally out of date and inadequate. To get someone from industry to turn over all their cards and talk about what they're doing, it would probably be very difficult. So you need someone that left industry and maybe didn't have direct responsibility to get out in front of you and share an overview. So that's what I'm going to do. My total disclaimer, I worked for one seed company for 11 years. I only had QA responsibility for seed production. That was only outside the U.S. And did a lot of regulatory, so I never had line responsibility for production. I did interview one recently retired person who wants to remain anonymous from two companies, and he said, you're okay, Cater. So seed is super important to growers, and we need to remember this. We just completed the Natural Resource Survey for cotton growers here in the U.S., huge response. This was driven to give us research prioritization, but also for other purposes as well. But it was held over 3 months, a little bit before planting, a little bit after planting. And that's important to think about the time frame in terms of grower responses. Huge response, about 10% of the U.S. cotton growers and 10% of the U.S. cotton acres responded. So I just want you to focus on the yellow line, which is the priority response. So we gave them 27 different options, concerns that were based on previous surveys and previous interviews. We randomly presented them, and we asked them to tell us whether it was a major, a moderate, or not an issue. And I'm comparing it to the 2011 survey we did, and you can see seedling vigor and sand establishment is hugely important to cotton producers. And just to verify how accurate this survey is, look at the top line. The number one issue is cotton production input cost. Now you see 3% of the U.S. growers said that is not an issue. So that means that 3% of the U.S. growers did not read this survey, right? They just went check, 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 like you're going to do when you get the survey from the Marriott about your stay here. So I feel really good. And the next two responses actually were virtually identical, but they're all randomized, weed resistance to herbicides and weed control. And you can see the numbers came out. So I feel really good about the survey. Growers are very concerned about it. Obviously, it's critical to growers if they get a poor stand. You know, it's almost an on-off function with regards to planting seed. Get a stand, that's great. And now we're on to something now. If you don't get a stand, that's terrible, and we got problems. So it's a real, it falls into two separate camps. But obviously, planting seed is hypercritical to seed companies, because that's when they get their investment back in regulatory, in breeding, in biotech, in seed production, QA. All the innovation is rolled into that bag, and they've got to sell seed to recover those investments. Now, they can sell germplasm, and they can sell traits, but for a sizable company, that's not a sustainable business model. You know, we're not salamanders. We don't regrow arms. You just can't cut off your arm and keep selling it, sell kidneys. So companies got to sell seed to have a sustainable. And seed production is hyper complex. You know, it has all of the complexities of cotton farming, but it's got additional levels added on to it. Two extra dimensions that really come out, and that the quality is very sensitive to weather, it's very sensitive to processing, and then we have this purity issue that is just absolutely overwhelming, as we'll talk about over the next couple slides. So the seed quality and seed production actually is responsible for creating the industry that we have right now. I'll just give you the DeltaFine example, but I think Stonepeak went through the same experience that those were both companies in the Delta. DeltaFine was actually owned by foreign textile interests in Britain that wanted a backup fiber in case they had problems with India. And so they were very concerned, since they were textile people in Manchester, about fiber quality. They got a cotton breeder, so they stole the one from USGA, ARS, sort of a typical story, start breeding and produce seed for their farm. It turned out it was a 40,000 acre farm in the Delta at its max. And if you produce seed in the Mississippi Delta, bad things are going to happen to you. It's a Jack Delaney print that I should say Jack Delaney up there, but just to tell you. And so they were very smart. They started looking around, where can we produce quality seed in the U.S.? So they looked at Arizona, grew seed in Arizona. Now, you take a variety that's bred for the Mississippi Delta and you grow it in Arizona, really bad things happen unless it's adapted to Arizona. So now the breeder had to come up with varieties that were adapted to both Mississippi and Arizona. And you know how divergent those two environments are, that anything that would do well in both of those environments, that led to varieties in germplasm that went all over the world. So those varieties that came from Stonepeak and DeltaFine, from that era in the Mississippi Delta, traveled beautifully and launched, particularly DeltaFine 16, launched China. I know the person that introduced the 500 metric tons of DeltaFine 16 to China, and I've talked with the son of the gentleman that introduced DeltaFine 16 in the pickers that were smuggled into, the seed was smuggled into Australia, into Australia to launch that industry. So it's very fortunate that seed has really created the industry that we have. Another huge component that's modified our industry has been obviously biotech. And I just wanted to compare the pre and the post biotech in an area that I've worked in West Texas, because farm-safe seed put a cap on what could be charged for seed, but even bigger, it put a cap on what could be invested into seed. And that's been a huge benefit of biotech, particularly in places like India, where the intellectual property protection is scarce. Going with biotech and hybrid seed has really created a lot of investment. But here's the West Texas example. It was about over 80% farm seed in 20 years ago, and now it's less than one. Private companies, I think, it would be a stretch to say it was moderately funded. Now there's probably five well-funded investors. Price per bag of seed has gone up dramatically. But look at the outputs. Variety introduced, I tried to count up on my fingers, five per decade versus 50 to 100. So the opportunities for growers just have been huge. And we've seen changes that have really influenced our seed production practices as well. This is what used to happen with varieties, whether it's HS26 on the High Plains or KLA-SJ2 in California. This is DeltaFine 90, which at one time was the number one variety in the U.S. and around the world. And it had a 20-year life cycle. And I've listed two modern varieties that are just finishing their life cycle. Maybe when they finish it, it looks like based on 15, there's a downturn. And you can see that life cycle is just, we all know about the rapid turnover on this. And I should have credited, I'm sorry, this is USDA AMS cotton varieties planted data on that. It's all available online. But we used to think about multi-year blending of seed. If you had seed carry over, it was dry seed, you could retest it and blend it together. And it was very simple to forecast seed production compared to that rapid turnover. Obviously, growers want the latest trait package, and that's what's driving it. We're really fortunate. We've got better and better traits that come out that provide more solutions to growers. And as part of this huge transformation, we now have the ability to do purity at a level that was unheard of. Before biotech, purity was based on off types. How many off types do you find in a really tall variety? You don't find them, right? They're hidden. You find off types in a real short variety. So the level of purity now, we can take it to whatever level that someone's willing to invest in. And traceability and identity preservation, just absolutely essential. Obviously, non-expressing herbicide-tolerant plants die, which is growers don't get happy with that. Contractual and patent restrictions, we know a little bit about. But also, companies are working with very similar traits, some of which are regulated and some are deregulated. And I'll use a corn example here. This was in Nature. This is the BT10 and BT11. One was deregulated and the other one was in there at a very small level. And it created huge problems for the U.S. corn industry and obviously for the company. Very similar events, but just very low levels. So traceability to IP, critical. So looking at operations, field operations, unlike corn, cotton is it's grown by fiber growers, and the traditional relationship with the seed industry is they get a modest payment to take on the burden of a newer variety, but also the hassle of the additional cleanouts that may be required, planters and harvesters and gins, and you'll see why that's absolutely critical. If the company actually needs the seed, they often pay an additional premium above that, above the seed price for it. Fields are moved around to avoid volunteer plants as much as possible. Some different traits will help there. And they plant many times more acres than they actually need because of the weather uncertainty, even across the U.S. Another big part of the field operation is the rigorous testing and inspection conducted by the field company staff, really making sure that it is what it is and it doesn't get contaminated before you dump it on your big seed pile in your processing and storage facility. But here's the reason that the cleanouts are so important. This was some work by Yves Carrier, can't pronounce his name. I think Tabashnik was also a part of this, and showed that by looking at hemizygous and homozygous disc seed at various distance from seed production blocks, able to show that the bulk of the admixture was seed mixtures is homozygous. It was not hemizygous that would be moving in on a pollen flow, and it was the seed mixture was the big problem. Continuing with the field operations, geography is absolutely critical. Irrigated cotton for growing planting seed. Minimal risk of hail and hurricanes. But you think about you're putting your extremely valuable foundation seed out there, often very limited quantity. You want to get as many bags back. You'd love to plant one bag of seed and get 200 back. Higher yield obviously multiplies that faster. You want low humidity when the bowls open. And just in my experience, Australia is just an awesome place to grow seed. Very, very high yields, reasonably good predictable weather. California, Arizona next, but both have some issues. Obviously, monsoons, water supply, and then maybe fully irrigated south of Lubbock, off the cap, Gaines County in south, central, west Texas, the high yielding fields there are often planted in seed production. And then probably the central delta as a large acre backup, where cotton seed production in the U.S. started is now probably lowest on the list. You don't see southeast up here. That's because of the high moisture content. Moisture is absolutely critical during the harvest season. Here's some a nice work by Bob Curley out in California, showing that the fiber is much more tolerant to moisture than the seed. We really can tolerate. We can store seed cotton. And get decent quality, but you can see if it's over 12%, there's no tolerance for storage for planting seed. It's just very, very sensitive. The germination is sensitive. Dry seed, on the other hand, retains its vigor extremely well. And obviously, the USDA germplasm supply seed is stored for 10 years, often longer. So cotton seed will store if it's put up properly. Free fatty acids are a real simple, quick test to see if that seed is metabolically active, if it has the moisture and the oils being broken down. So it's a quick test, and we obviously want to look at the modules. Ginning operations, clean out, very important on that. May need to adjust for the smaller seeded varieties we have coming along to minimize seed coat injury to those. Here's just the trend that's going on with regards to seed size. This is the U.S. average seeds per bale of cotton, and 555 started that trend. Bumper Yield, a whole bunch of other varieties have followed suit, and so we're on that downhill slide. That the National Cotton Council actually raised that issue yesterday, Jeff, at your meeting, about how the challenges that poses for the ginning industry with the continued slide in seed size. Seed treatment, very standard. Multiple fungicides, the cost of the fungicides really minor, 2 to 3 fungicides to cover a wide range of pathogens, and a seed storage insecticide, also long-term very common. The use of the systemic insecticides that came along in the early 90s really forced the seed industry to evaluate their seed application very precisely, because now you had expensive products and concentration in the seed was critical for efficacy, and so the seed loading assessments elevated dramatically. Another benefit of innovation from the standpoint of grower performance. And the cost of the seed treatment and disposal has really encouraged a just-in-time processing. So let me wrap up here with looking at what I see as some of the future, two slides on the future for planting seed production. We already have fantastic competition for trade acres here in the U.S. based on yield and fiber quality. And I want to commend all of the industry representatives here for what they've done to push the yields up. And you don't get credit for it, because if you look at the average of the U.S., which is that blue line, it doesn't look too attractive. We're flat. But we've shifted acres, obviously, from higher yielding, traditionally higher yielding areas, the Mississippi Delta, California, Arizona, to areas that are traditionally more risky, Texas. So if you look at the average of each individual states, and here's the average of them, but even if you look at each state, we are on a very nice trend for increasing yields and genetics, but also the fiber quality. All the major companies have released varieties with outstanding fiber qualities, qualities that at this point the growers don't fully recoup, but having them out there, that will create the demand for cotton. It's great for the industry. So I compliment you and thank you for that. I think with 3 independent trade packages that we've moved to, we're going to see even more intense investment and competition for trade acres. Obviously, trade acres is where the revenue is maximized for a company. And I think we're going to have a greater availability of information on seed quality, expanded testing for seed-borne pathogens, and we're going to borrow some innovations from vegetable and corn. You know, corn does seed sizing, a lot of seed coat vegetables do seed coating. You know, there's just a tremendous amount of innovation out there in the seed industry that I think will be looked at. So let me just wrap up with, we got Tom Weidegartner in the office with something that, this is supposed to be turned sideways, Tom. As you know, on some computers it doesn't. But I think also that the acid delinting, which is, I had a brief slide up there that poses some real environmental, worker safety, and seed quality challenges. I think within the next few years that we'll see that phased out in breeder foundation and hopefully planting seed with some innovations that are coming along, jointly developed by Tom Weidegartner and USDA. With that, I thank you very much, Hillary, and I apologize, I didn't leave a huge amount of time, about a half a minute. Do I have time for a question or two, or just want to keep going?
Yeah, we'll take the questions off.
Okay, sounds good. I'll be around afterwards. Thank you.